Welcome to Axiom 777. Hello, fellow listeners. Thank you for tuning in tonight. It is wonderful to be back in the game. Tonight is going to be very exciting as me and Lemaire delve straight into the mechanics of AGS and talk to the big man in charge himself, President Hayes. Hope you all enjoy the show, and once again, welcome to Axiom 777.
Donald Hayes narrowly beat Blake Shields in the 2008 presidential election. The electoral vote was 272 to 266. It all came down to, if a couple flex points had been placed from Shields differently, we might have seen a different result. But, you know, in the end, congratulations to Donald. You know, he won, and then he swore in on Tuesday. It was he's had a fairly successful first couple days. We got his first round of nominees through, so that's going great.
Okay, so and this is the different Hayes, right? Is this the one that was the vice president? Because I always get confused on which Hayes.
Yeah, this is Donald, the one who was whenever both Hayeses were in the White House. This is the vice president I'm talking about.
Okay. Oh, that's right, because the Cromwell resigned, and then the other Hayes went in,
yeah. And
he was vice president. Okay. Why do you think Shields didn't make it? Because honestly, I thought Shields was going to take the presidency. I was kind of shocked that he didn't.
As I said, you know, some misplaced flex points. Had a couple more flex points been placed in a certain state, Wisconsin, we could have, Shields could have won.
Okay.
And we would have had a Democratic majority in the Senate.
What flex points exactly are you referring to?
So at the end of every campaign, flex points are awarded for stuff like if you submit a logo to the Creator Council, if you have a campaign headquarters with at least 7 advisors, you'll get some flex points. Nowadays, only your first 4 speeches are put into the speech evaluator, and then that's what they count for your speech points. And then every other speech is just flex points based on how many posts it was.
Oh, okay. This is a new system for me. Man, I've been gone way too long. I have never heard of this. So it almost reminds me of the
This system was used last time you were here in 2000.
Huh.
Yeah.
I haven't been paying attention. That is very interesting. Okay, so you have you have Hayes in the presidency, and who exactly has the majority in each of the houses?
So the Republicans have a majority in both. The Republicans have a majority outright, 11-6 in the House, and then the presidency was what the presidency decided the Senate, because the GOP retained their seats, so it means it was a tied up at 6-6, which meant that whoever won the presidency controlled the Senate. Ultimately, it was Donald Hayes and Griffin Taylor who won. Congratulations to both of those. Taylor's been an amazing vice president. He also did very good during his small stint as president whenever Meadows resigned. So,
That is remarkable. You know, what would you, since I've been off for about a good solid 2 months, and I believe the last election I saw with the Democrats was, oh my goodness, I think it was right before the reset, because that's literally like when I left was when the reset happened. And the Democrats were kind of, for lack of a better word, they were a little bit struggling. What would you say their progression has been? Like, how has their progression been?
We have a Our progression has been pretty good. We took the Senate in 2006, so.
Okay.
In 2000, going into 2006, we only had three senators, one in each class, and then it was a 2006 was a class one election, which meaning I was up for re-election. I happened to win my race by 12 points. Which a funny thing is, exactly 100 people voted in that election. So for one of the first times in AGS history, you could actually know the vote count.
Oh wow!
Because since it was 100%, one vote equals 1%.
Huh. Okay, that is actually really, really cool. On the topic of parties, what do you think of the libertarians that have come back? Because I will say I'm happy, and I mean I think everyone can know why I'm happy. Because honestly, I've been a little bit uninterested in the two-party system, just because. I mean, there's just for a few reasons. One. You know, I hear the argument all the time. People say, you know, that the third party system destroys competition. In itself, that statement is illogical because the more you have, the more competition there is. The less you have, the less competition there is. So it doesn't necessarily constitute an argument. And also, if you try to say vote splitting, I mean, that happened, once every blue moon. It wasn't like vote splitting was something that occurred on every, you know, single election or every two elections. But I mean, that's just my opinion. What's your take on that?
You know, the second reemergence of the Libertarian Party since the reset, I'm just going to give the same advice that I gave to the first reemergence that eventually collapsed. For those of you that weren't here, and you weren't here, and for those viewers that weren't here, the first reemergence happened when Coolidge resigned from the Creator Council to create the Libertarian Party in 2002. That failed, so you know he ended it about 16 hours after I talked him out of it. But you know now he's the chairman of the Democrats, so you know we see how far he's progressed, and he's also in the Senate too. But I'm just going to give the same advice that I gave the Coolidge. Focus on governorships right now. Do not go for Congress right off the bat because
I agree
you're not going to win. Focus on governorships. Get people who are good governors. Right now, the electability of the members of the LP is very low.
True.
It would be different if you had people like Rex and Rex Meadows, Massey, Baker, and William, and Max Williams joined, but you know, none of those people have joined. And it's just basically seeing how long they're going to last. Is, you know, I'm going to give it 6 years at most.
Okay. Well, I agree with you. A lot of times, me and Palpatine were actually talking about this the other night. I miss the good man. Sad to see him go, but we were talking about, you know, patience, you know, and how it's such a virtue that a lot of people don't take advantage of. And I agree with you. I'm scared watching this Libertarian Party because I personally would love to see the reemergence of third parties, but the leadership has to be so careful because anything could destroy it. You know, it's so fragile right now and there are just so many mistakes that can be made. And if you try to rush for results, it's just gonna fall apart. Like I remember that's what something that we did early when we started the CP. We would try to run people like senators and reps really, really, really early just because we were so anxious, but we learned real, real quick.
Yeah. That was one of the things that whenever the Libertarian Party rebuilt after the collapse in 2024 before reset, we just obviously I was a member of the Republican Party at the time, but I was helping the Libertarian Party I was coaching these youngsters, and some of these youngsters, that group of youngsters was Rex, it was Massey, it was Baker, it was Max Williams, it was Rond, it was those people. It was whenever they were first coming in the situation, they took over the Libertarian Party after I'd been leading the party since 2036, and I'm just like, it's not my time anymore. It's time to pass on the torch, literally the torch, as it is the symbol of the Libertarian Party. It's time to pass on the torch to the younger generation and let them take a hold. I'm glad with what they've accomplished.
I agree. But, I mean, because go ahead.
When they were rebuilding, I was saying focus on governorships. Mm. Halfway through my Senate term, I get elected in 2024 because I went to the Republican Party because I felt that it was time for a change. I had been in the Libertarian Party since 2024, and I'm like, I've been in the Libertarian Party for 20 years. It's time to have a change of faces. I won by a good bit. Fun fact, I did happen to beat Crosley Jones in the Senate primary, so that was fun. But I've never beaten him since, so.
I mean, I agree with you with the passing the stole. Like, I felt like that for a long time. Like, I'm not done. Like, I feel like I still have a little bit left in me. I may run. And, I mean, I'm sure I realize this. I've never really ever run against someone for political office. I've always been really kind of a free bird in AGS. I've always built parties, or I did, I would call it political activism, for lack of a better word. But lobbying. But I've never really.
Let's not be flowery. Let's be very blunt, because that's what politics is. Politics hits you smack dab in the face. Let's call it what it is. You were a lobbyist, for lack of a better term.
Exactly. And I enjoyed it, but I would like to try. I mean, really, the only political position I've ever done was mayor of San Diego, which I loved doing for the brief time that I did it. But I do agree with the passing of the stole. I see people who have so many years in AGS, their resume is so big. And, I mean, there's so many people who are coming in the game who we don't know about. I don't know. I've never seen. And the people that I know are slowly kind of drifting out, like Palpatine. I mean, I know Strom will be gone one day, and Minato too. And it's just everyone's just kind of drifting off. And I would love to see I'd love to be able to walk off and be able to see a revived Libertarian, a strong Democratic Party, a really good Republican Party. Hey, maybe even a CP back, that's up and doing its thing. But I do think the problems will ensue when people try to hang on to that power, if you know what I mean. You just kind of hang on to that influence. And I've seen that with a couple of parties or leaders in parties where they are not really, they've served for such a long time, and it's there when the people who have known you are gone, and you the amount of people who don't know who you are outnumber the people who did know who you are. It's kind of, for me, that's an indicator of, all right, you need to kind of begin to let stuff go, and I could, that's just my opinion, but I mean, I know that's what I'm gonna have to start doing at some point.
I mean, being here for as long as I have, which is just over 5 hours short of the Sims life and Sims existence itself, I've seen a lot of my friends come and leave, and I'm glad that Gavin Skye, one of my oldest friends in the simulation, he's making his way back in AGS. He may be running for something. I don't know. You know, he said he was going to, he went down to Houston. That could either mean that he'd be running for District 11 House against McDaniels, or he could be challenging Bryant for Senate. But, you know, Gavin Sky has always been one of those characters that no matter how long he takes off, he's going to come back and he's going to inspire people with his charisma, and he's going to take the fight to his opponents. He's proven he's won the presidency. He's won with all different parties. You know, he remains while he got into the Hall of Fame because he was a president. You know, he has remained in the Hall of Fame because of his charisma, of his he's such a good character. He's like Justin Trudeau used to be back in 2015. Which you know, whenever I think of whenever I see Justin Trudeau on the telly, I think of Gavin Sky. You know, he's done some amazing work both in SIM and out of SIM. He's working with the San Diego Republican Party now. Being so close to the border, the Republican Party is kind of struggling with all the influx of immigrants, but you know, he's done a good job working with them, making sure their candidates are prepared for the elections. I couldn't be more proud. Also, if it gets to be where the people number of people you don't know outnumber the people that you do know in the sim, my advice to you, Ken, is to go out and meet some of these younger people. Meet some of these younger people, get to know them, have some conversations with them, and you know, they could turn up to be your biggest allies yet.
That's true. I do have to do that myself, because you know, I remember back in where I lived, I used to live in Texas, and when I first got into AGS, and I never really used Instagram because I'm not really a big social media person at all. And it was the first time I actually really paid attention to that little, you know, that little blue notification you get when Instagram comes in, and I would know, oh my gosh, you know, the senator from this or blah blah blah, or you know, the attorney general. Yeah, you know, it's there are new people that are coming in. Now, I do have to try to reach out to some of those people, because honestly, I think the only people I still keep in contact with is Strom and Palpatine, because you know, they're just one of my favorite people in the sim. Just really good, down to earth people.
Yeah, Strom was one of those people to where he ran as an independent candidate for D16 in 2008. You know, he took the fight. You know, he decided the election. You know, people from all the different sides vote for him, because Strom is a candidate who's proven his electability. You know, he split from the Republican Party, like for a while. He joined the Republican Party in 2073. You know, he was a Republican for a while. He was like a 2-term senator for that bit too. But you know, he split from the Republican Party because he wants to prove that he can. That he is actually electable. It's not the it is not the letter beside his name that gives him the electability. It's he himself, through his hard work and through his hard work and dedication to the sim. You know, I congratulate him for that. And also, subject to Palpatine, you know,
I agree.
I look at Palpatine, and you know, Palpatine had a future. I looked at Palpatine, he had a bright future in this simulation, and you know, he's chosen to throw it all away and leave. You know, I mean, a year of service is pretty good. You know, sticking with something for a year shows that you have a level of dedication, and whenever you get to that year, you decide whether you want to keep going with it, and or you want to let it go before you get too heavily involved. You know, I respect his decision. He probably wants to focus more on schooling and work. You know, that is always real life always comes before AGS. So some of us tend to forget that. I've forgotten that at times, but real life, your schooling, your work, it all comes comes before AGS, because at the end of the day, we aren't getting paid for this stuff. This won't be able to go on our resumes. I mean, the only thing that we'll be able to take from this is the experience and the skills that we earn through that.
I do agree. I do think Palpatine's story for me is very tragic, if you will. Just seeing, because we came in together, really. And he's tried so hard over the years to really, really get in AGS, you know, to find his place in the simulation, whether that be the Creator Council or governor or, you know, representative. And he either never made it in, or he just never found it. And I just really, my heart breaks for the good man, because he's tried. He's just he's a good soul. And I'm definitely going to miss seeing him in the simulation. But to quickly wrap this up before the next segment, when we'll interview Hayes later, I was wondering, I was told that the Democratic Party has gotten a little bit more left-leaning, because, you know, originally it was a pretty, you know, still right, because the members were predominantly Libertarians and Constitution Party members. So is that accurate? Has it really leaned more to the?
Yes, that is very accurate, because, you know, the Democratic Party is chaired by an actual Democrat now. Coolidge has drifted from 8 to the right to just being like half a bit to the right, like 0.5 to the right. And, you know, compared to today's Democrats, that is where a good bit of Democrats are. He's an actual Democrat. Being in the Democratic Party and being in the Senate, being a Democratic senator since the beginning of February, it has drawn me to the left a little bit, but, you know, it's drawn me from 9.7 points to the right to 9 points to the right. I've been far to the right for so long that it takes a whole lot to get me to move, like 1 point in either direction.
Well, that's my question is that necessarily a good thing? Because I've seen people who were like the strongest conservatives I've ever seen, you know, all of a sudden advocating for stuff that they never would have advocated for, you know, 2, 4, 3 months ago. And, you know, the only thing that concerns me about that is, you know, how really deep is their commitment to conservatism, and is it really good for, you know, conservatives to be in a party that's supposed to be left-leaning, and then now their views are kind of being changed slowly just because they are in a left-leaning party, and eventually people will acclimate to the environment they're in, you know? I mean, is that a good thing, or is that just, you know, part of life, do you think?
You know, it could be part of life. Starting out in January of 2016, I was a Democratic Socialist because that was my environment. I'm in Morgantown, West Virginia. In fourth and all throughout middle school, the majority of my friends were of different ethnicities and religions than I was. And, you know, the majority of them were Democratic Socialists. I was a Bernie supporter at first in 2016, but, you know, I then switched to Gary Johnson after I had spent some time with the founder of the Sim, Matthew Geiger. But, you know, people are a product of their environment, but, you know, I think the reason why I haven't been drifted to the left is because I do live in one of the few Democratic strongholds in the state of West Virginia, and I am faced with different viewpoints all along, and I'm having to defend my viewpoint, so that just solidifies my my standing. And, you know, I'm gonna pull a quote. I can't remember who it's from. I think it's either from Ben Shapiro or Steven Crowder. Going to a liberal college, going to a liberal school, is actually better for conservative students because they're facing viewpoints that are different from theirs every single day. And, you know, the majority of their professors have different viewpoints than they are. And it's a struggle. I have a few conservative friends that go to West Virginia University right here in town. And they said, you will find out who the conservative professors are real quick. And those professors and staff members will become your friends. Because they have the same viewpoints. Academia has been taken over by the left, and, you know, I don't think that's a good thing. Indoctrinating and educating the youth is, I believe, is as important as is defending our nation on the front lines, whether that be abroad or it be the front lines here at home with being a cop or a firefighter. Training the next generation is something that we've been striving towards. And, you know, I believe that the education system today in modern America has suffered because, you know, the education of the 30s, 40s, and 50s, you know, that education system, yes, it might have been oppressive to some people, but, you know, that education system put men on the moon. The education put men on the moon, you know, we haven't been to the moon in a good while.
It's true. You know, education is meant to make you well-rounded. You know, that was the purpose. And I feel like we have drifted from that perspective. Yeah. You know, nowadays, I feel like people kind of, they get into positions of power and they kind of forget why they're there in the first place. I know it can be difficult because in real life I went to a model congress in Hong Kong about 2016, and I was in the House of Representatives, and I remember sitting down looking at everyone arguing, and I actually, for like the first time, looked at like my little placard that had like Utah I was a senator, no sorry, rep from Utah. It was almost like AGS, but we're in real life acting out, pretty much. It's pretty cool. And I was Jason Chaffetz. And I remember looking around at everyone. I was like, wow, you know, the stuff that we say I on or nay on impact millions of people the moment we write, you know, our signatures on it. So it's not like something, a job to be taken lightly. And I feel like people go in and they don't necessarily think, okay, what's best for everyone, was going to have the best outlook, whether they're conservative or liberal. They just kind of go in with their own, you know, agenda in their head, like their own personal agenda, and they try to force that on everybody else without trying to take in, you know, everyone else's viewpoint, which is the result, I think, of years of indoctrinating on both ends, because then everyone just goes in not really knowing how to work together with their differences. They just go in knowing, okay, I grew up this way, this is how we've always done it, this is the right way, and everyone who doesn't agree needs to go somewhere. And then we end up with the type of government structure that we have today, where everyone's just,
yeah, I mean, even absolutely. In the early 2000s, like, you know, 2003, it's 2004, the McCain-Feingoldum Act with campaign finance reform, you know, that was a perfect piece of bipartisan legislation. You know, you have Senator John McCain. You have Senator John McCain from the Republican Party. I can't remember for the life of his name, but Senator Feingold from the Democrats. I do believe he was from, I think he was from Wisconsin. Don't quote me on that one, though. But, you know, you know, we were willing to compromise with each other all the way up until 2008, you know. And then 2008, we started drifting apart when Obama lost. I mean, you know, I guess during Bush, and, you know, since Bush, like, had been president through 9/11, you know, people were trying to do what's best for the country because we had been attacked. But, you know, I think once we changed commander in chiefs, we started becoming more tribal and not wanting to work with each other, and just started screaming at the people across the aisle and saying that they're bad and all this other stuff. You know, you mentioned that you went to a model Congress, and, you know, earlier in the year, I went to a thing called Youth in Government, sponsored by the Youth Leadership Association of Ohio and West Virginia. You know, I was a senator, I was a state senator, and, you know, I presented a bill on tax bracket reform. It failed because too complicated for them. I wrote my bill to be like a real life bill. You know, I wrote it AGS standard bill. So, I mean, better quality AGS standard bills, because there are some AGS bills that are just like, are you serious? But, you know, I made sure my verbiage was correct for what I was writing. You know, I think I think it was up and above their heads. It goes to show with people like around every state, and well, especially mine, because West Virginia is 49th in education. I mean, I see the rest of my state with Morgantown eyes. Morgantown's one of the wealthier areas. Morgantown, we have one of the better educational systems here. But it just goes to show what, like, you have to be able to work with people from all across the country and from all different viewpoints. While there, I'll send you pictures of this later, but I completely destroyed a bill that was, you know, so this bill, it was Gold Senate Bill number 6, and when I read to you right here, the bill title was, here was the thing. It says, a program to study, help indicate invasive species initiated by the Department of Natural Resources that have crippled small farms. And so, you know, I wrote the minority report in the committee. And, you know, when I read this bill, this read like a statement of policy. It didn't actually address what they wanted to be. It didn't actually address which species they wanted to be targeting. Whenever I asked the authors what species they talked about, it's just these invasive species. But, you know, what are you actually defining as an invasive species? You know, they made it seem, you know, they said, the Department of Agriculture did a study and said, hey, these will help you. But, you know, they just suggested it. It wasn't an actual mandate. It was a suggestion to help them make the soil of West Virginia better. But, you know, these plants overran the native species, and, you know, it just became a hassle on farmers. And they wanted to legislate. So what really got me was they wanted to legislate funds from a federal program. They wanted to say that a federal program will pay for this. And what I want to say here is this is how federalism works, people. A state cannot force the federal government to pay for anything. And the federal government can, in a sort of way, they can give grants and say this has to be used for something. But, you know, they can't force a state to put something in their budget. They can't force the state to pay for a certain thing in their budget. You know, that's how federalism works. We have separation of powers, and we also have separation of different levels, from the local to the state to the federal to the national levels. It just it just can't be it just can't be done. Like,
I agree. I've run into similar issues in Model Congress where I was, I look at a bill and I'm like, that doesn't look like that should work. But that's a conversation for a whole different story. I would like to say thank you, Romero, though, for coming on. I can't wait to have you on different episodes that come up. Soon we'll have Hayes up. That should be on the next segment. So excited for that. But yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for coming on the show today, man.
You're welcome, Ken. It was a pleasure being on. I enjoyed the last time I was on. We got to interview President Rockefeller. I'm glad you're back. I'm glad we're doing this again. It's gonna be great seeing you get back into work and we start revolutionizing the way we present our news in Asia. So once again, thank you all for having me. Thank you for having me.
No problem, man. No problem. Thank you, man. Hello, Mr. President. Oh man, that was a fight to get you on here, sir.
Yes, it was. Apologies for how long it took.
Oh, no problem. It threw me out. It's storming over here where I am, so if it punches out, I prayed already, and I hope he hears me and doesn't let my internet be kicked out. But anyway, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Great. No problem. I will actually get straight to the first question. How do you feel after the presidential election? Because from what I remember, weren't you the vice president of the other Hayes last time? Okay. How do you feel going from vice president to president and actually like winning the election as a whole?
It's quite a transition. The election, it was a real shock at how close it was because polling had me demolishing my opponent, but the transition, it's tough to overcome in the beginning, but I think I've become accustomed to the role.
Okay. How do you like the duty, the difference in duties, like the vice presidential duties and their presidential duties? Are they like
the presidential duties with scenarios. It's much, much more interactive than as a vice president. And dealing with Congress is much easier, surprisingly, than the vice president.
Actually, it's surprising. I would think it would be a lot easier as the vice president to work with Congress. Well,
I think it's more or less the vice president. People don't see as need to go to you when you're the vice president, and they just want to go to the president.
They kind of see it as like a stepping stone just to get to the higher authority, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, part of that question, which you kind of hinted on, like, were you confident of victory? Like you said before, the polling made you think that, or at least gave you an indication that you were like very much so ahead of your opponents. Like,
yeah, it was actually surprised. The polling actually surprised me because Shields is a very, very strong candidate. So when the polling was saying I was leading with 60% of the vote, I was like, there must be something off. But I wasn't confident because same thing happened with the Senate race prior to this presidential race where I lost to the current Senator Coolidge.
Okay.
By a narrow
margin. So you were more wary of this election rather than...
Very. But my team, we got through it.
Do you plan on... running for re-election? Just throwing that out.
I've said multiple things, but at the moment I don't know. It just depends on how the term goes.
Okay, that's understandable. I mean, I usually I'll ask that, and then the president's always like, "Oh, well, I don't know." Last the other Hayes, I just call him the other Hayes. I really don't even know what to refer to him as. But I think I asked the other Hayes that. Yeah, Black Hayes, is that what people say? I can't remember if that Okay, yeah. Well, Black Hayes,
I'm Black Hayes. He's Asian Hayes.
Yes. Donald Hayes is Black Hayes, and Daniel Hayes is Asian Hayes.
So there's too many Hayes thrown around. I don't know. All right, Lemire, I'll hand the questions off to you real quick.
I just want to inform you. I'm going to be asking questions about the legal system and judiciary. I'm going to be shying away from the ongoing court cases. It would be a conflict of interest for me to ask questions about it. Mr. President, what do you envision the future of the AGS judiciary to be?
Well, as you know from serving with me in the Senate and in other, not really strong in the judiciary in terms of knowledge. I kind of hand that off to my advisors, such as Bryant. But what I would like to see, if we could somehow make it work, is a tiered court system, because the fact that it just goes straight to the Supreme Court, especially for civil suits, it's kind of worrying, because the president thought he could pardon Mr. McCarthy last time because it went to the Supreme Court, assuming it was a federal case, and in fact it was a civil suit. So.
Something that I'd like to add on that, there is precedent of a president pardoning someone from a civil suit. Whenever Crosley Jones pardoned Booker, Booker was gotten through a civil suit after the whole CC debacle in 2060, after they did not give the Department of Justice the evidence. But, you know, that's all said and done behind us. So
I think that precedent came about because we didn't take the judiciary as seriously as we do now. I think there's a new feeling around when it comes to our laws and AGS, and we take it more seriously. People such as Cutler Bryant and Chase Smith, and even you, Lemire, kind of opened our eyes to how serious we need to start taking it. So that's probably why we started paying closer attention to the laws and started educating ourselves.
So since you mentioned a tiered court, how soon do you think that we could implement such a system?
Well, I think we should do a test run. A lot of research had to go into it, of course. I don't think I'll be president when we implement it full time, if we would have implemented it at all. I think it will be sometime in even 2020, so like mid-October, October, December 2019. But I would like to see like a test run, at least one lower court by at least 2015.
Quick question, Mr. Hayes. I'm sorry, Lemire. I just need to ask: is your mic? Can you guys hear Hayes? Okay, because I think I can barely hear him.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can barely hear him. I had to turn the mic up all the way, and you're kind of pretty loud, Ken.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, I'm loud. Okay.
We can hear you. I can hear you a little bit better, but it's not much better than before.
I think it's my hand on the mic. Something.
Yeah. Okay, you're good. It's better now, though, than before. I just need to ask because I couldn't hear.
Yeah, it's better now. How's my sound coming out?
It's going real. It sounds perfect.
All right.
Did you have any more questions, Lemire, before I interrupted you?
No, I was about to hand the questioning back off to you.
Okay, perfect. Mr. Hayes, what's the goal of your administration? What do you want to accomplish? Like kind of your big goals, and then what are your like smaller goals that you're okay with not getting done?
Well, I'm more focused at this point in time with getting my cabinet secretaries confirmed, because we've had a lot of presidents in the past focusing more on domestic issues than our foreign policy issues, even though those are off and on again. But I want to focus more on strengthening our alliances, especially with the WMA becoming a power now that we have to deal with Russia and other various entities.
Okay, so would you say foreign policy is more of your focus?
It's more of my focus than domestic issues.
Okay. And also, what's your opinion on the Coolidge case? I honestly, if I'm honest, I barely know what's going on, because I opened AGS one day, or I think what, a day or two ago, and I just was all of a sudden flooded with like something hashtag justice. I was like, what are they yelling about?
Well, I'm not gonna give too much input on it. As you probably can tell, a lot of controversy around this case because Mr. Gilwich is such a beloved figure in AGS. If in a more unbiased opinion, I've seen the evidence, and I won't say he's guilty because you're innocent until proven guilty. From what the evidence I've seen, it suggests he's guilty. But I'll let Queen and Pope and Parcells and Boyles and everyone on the court decide that. Oh, and Glenn.
Let's not forget Glenn here. We got five justices. It would be a big debacle if there was a tie. Who would decide the tie? Who would break the tie?
Yeah, we can't forget Glenn. He'll be the tiebreaker at this, of course. If it does tie.
Yeah, if it does come down, you know, in recent decisions, we've been seeing a lot of, you know, we've been seeing a lot of 4-1, 5-0 decisions. So
yeah, I think this one will be actually one that will test the court's ability to deliberate.
Well, I mean, I agree. I mean, given them a controversial case, I really feel like the justice system. Like, I agree with Lemire. I think I never thought of a tier court system. I really didn't really understand. I was like, oh, I just realized, wow, AGS only has one court. I think a tiered system and really making the court system a bigger factor, I think, in AGS would be great. And handing them a controversial case that they really have to dig down deep to figure out and, you know, decide, I think it's going to be very, very interesting, because I don't think I've seen something very controversial since the Bloomberg incident.
Oh, yeah.
2075 was a very interesting moment. Yeah, it was in 2075. Fun fact about that, Bloomberg was the one who wanted a plea deal.
Well, just saying. I mean, it avoided him from getting banned, it seemed.
Yeah,
a full ban, other than the federal positions one that was soon pardoned after that.
Yeah, you know, this is from a purely biased opinion because I was his attorney, but you know, I believe I could have won. I believe I do. I could have won, but you know, it all ended up well, I guess.
I think of that time as the era of plea deals, because Brant Hoover was rolling out, or however you pronounce his name, Brant Hoover was rolling out a lot.
It's Brant Hoover, the first one.
Hoover, okay. Lemire, do you have any more questions, Lemire?
Yes. So this is dabbling into a bit of ABA projects that I wanted to get your opinions on, Mr. President. I've been hinting at this for a while, but you know, Brant Hoover, Chairman Brant Hoover, and Secretary Bryant, and we have been working on what we like to call the AGS Institute of Law, which will be the school that, you know, people go to get trained for the bar exam, as opposed to just having to research the documents on their own. Do you think this could be a valuable tool in helping prepare aspiring attorneys for the bar exam? Do you think that it should be implemented?
I think that something, you know, I would have to take a look at it, of course. But I think that's something that we need. Of course, no one logs on to Instagram to go to school. But I mean, if people are actually interested in learning law and getting educated on AGS, so they can be a above average attorney, I think that's just something that we should look into implementing, and something I would support as well.
You got something?
I just had a completely different question, but if you have like a follow up, you can go on ahead.
No, this is about something that I asked before, but hey, you can go ahead.
I was just going to ask, just came to my mind, what do you think of the Libertarian Party that just kind of came back out of the blue? Like, do you, well, I mean, he laughs.
I think, to put it bluntly, I think it's a poor decision. Democracy, where you can make a party if you want. I just think in this simulation, trying to emulate real life, I don't think the Libertarian Party has a place. Even though it's in real life, they just don't succeed. When I first joined AGS in 2072, we had a four-party system: the Constitutionalists, the Libertarians, the Republicans, of course, and the Democrats. The Libertarians were basically the second party, where the Democrats should have been.
Yeah.
And that took away... Well, then the Constitutionalists came in and started winning more races as time went on. I know you're patting yourself on the back about that, Ham.
Oh, don't worry. I'll just sit back here.
But I don't think, you know, have you seen all this competition that's been coming about? Like the last presidential election, the fact that it came with so close, it shows that AGS is prospering. Like TPON, well, TPON isn't really prospering, but
like TPON used to do.
As TPON used to do, they had a two-party system. They obviously had third parties, but they didn't succeed, and they didn't tear votes away from other parties. I think if the Libertarian Party gets into full swing, I think that it would hurt competition, because I think the Republican Party would actually benefit from that. Because Libertarians would probably mostly vote for their friends and Libertarians, and most of their friends are either in the Republican Party or a small minority of them are in the Democratic Party. I don't think it's a wise venture, but we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, there's something I have to add on that. While the Democrats have become more left-leaning, more like actual Democrats, the number of Liberty Democrats has severely decreased. There's only about like 12 of us now. I have a party of over 50. So,
What do you think, Mr. Harris, what do you think sparked their return? Because I honestly didn't even see that coming.
I think that this has been in the works for a while, but the people who started this Libertarian Party, not the people who've been in the works making the Libertarian Party, I suspect. This one was created by started a petition. It was a petition started by John Lennon, the failed presidential candidate. He got one vote in 2008. He got the signatures, and just a lot of them started pouring in. Trey Reagan, John Schlabo, Nancy Reagan, and Wagner, of course, yeah.
Stark.
Yeah, Stark. But you know, I don't think that's a stable leadership in the slightest. They made Stark the chairman, and Stark, in my opinion, isn't as active as he should. If he's going to be
Stark is the vice chairman, Reagan is the chairman.
Oh, never mind. I thought Stark. Oh, Stark ran for chairman and lost.
Yeah, he lost by.
Yeah, I like Reagan. I'm not gonna. I think he'll lead the Libertarians in a good light then, if it's Reagan leading everything. He's a smart guy. I'm actually kind of sad he lost to Rachel. I was actually backing him pretty heavily in that race when he was in the Republican Party.
Well, I am out of questions, Mr. Lemaire. Do you have anything else for him?
Back onto the I know that we had discussed judicial districts like previously, but you know, I just thought of this. How many judicial districts would you see in AGS? Like, could you want?
I would. My being honest, I would only want four. I would only want four. I think that's more sustainable than a realistic amount for one every governor.
Yeah, I was expecting less than four. I was expecting two, because two had been the thing we tried. Two had been the thing that,
you know, I'm talking about, I'm previously. Thinking more long term. Right now we should start off with two, and move our way up to four, and just stay at four. If we were ever to implement the system and make it work, of course, we would need active judges, and you know. This is something I talked to you about when we were in the Senate. You know, we had when I was chairman of the GOP back in 2000. Or,
I remember those days.
We had five people who joined the GOP and who told me specifically, they join just to get on the courts or to be a lawyer. Well, at that time, as you know, Lemire, we didn't have a functioning ABA, so they couldn't become lawyers. That was out the window. And
yeah,
the courts were packed because Hayes and Rockefeller and Cromwell, some of the things that contributed to AGS was filling the courts. So they were stuck, and they went inactive, and they left.
Yeah.
So I think we should try to expand our judiciary. Because, yes, of course, a majority of people are more interested in the legislative branch and the executive branch. But we have a minority of people who join AGS who want to expand their knowledge or share their knowledge of law.
Yeah, judiciary has really been one of the things that the Constitution separates, that we have three equal branches, and judiciary has been something that has been lacking.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's something we should explore and make it work, because the argument every time the judicial districts fail is they won't work, they'll go inactive.
I remember I said that with the governor's districts.
Did I say governor's?
You said judicial districts. No.
Oh, okay. Oh, he was talking about something else.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, like, I remember when everyone was bashing the governor's districts.
Well, I was opposed to governor districts when I first joined AGS. I said the same thing about said about judiciary, the district districts.
Last time judicial districts were implemented was under Rockefeller's term. The bill was RA number 4. And, you know, Rockefeller added too many. That's why they failed, because there was not enough people. He implemented 6 judicial districts, and they failed because we could only find a maximum of 2 at a time.
Yeah, you have to accommodate the minority of people who are interested in law to make these work. Back to what Ham was saying with the example of governor districts. Governor districts, even now, I wouldn't say they panned out exactly how we expected, because we have 2 vacant governor districts, actually.
Yeah.
Or is it 3?
Going off last actually, weekend, it is 3, because we have an even amount, and we have an odd amount of governor.
I know we have several going up for special election, because several governors decided to go inactive after they won their elections, such as Homer Simpson. So it's a work in progress. You know, we can't add too many at one time, but we also can't try to be like TPON, you know, when we're implementing our systems. Because, you know, some people look at TPON and say, governor districts work so well over there, or the judiciary works so well over there. We got to try to do our own thing.
Well, grass is always greener on the other side. I mean,
well, the grass is a little purple on the other side with ISA.
Yeah, the grass is very purple on the other side. But the one thing about gubernatorial districts and the judiciary and TPON is, because, you know, I don't think people have realized that TPON has been around since September 2014. Like, TPON is coming up on its 5-year birthday.
Oh, wow.
In September. So, you know, TPON has had almost a year and a half more time than AGS to build their sim. AGS started out like brand new, while, you know, the TPON 1.0 reformation, which is where the majority of these ideas came from, they built off of what the admin of TPON built. Yeah. So they had a little bit more infrastructure, whereas we were just kind of figuring out, playing it by ear as we go.
We did secede from TPON, essentially.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I would, while I do like the current junior and senior senators, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to going back to 12 districts if that's if we had 12 gubernatorial districts, and ins- and we would have the governors be appointing the replacements.
Here's the thing with that. Here's why I oppose,
yeah.
I oppose that vehemently, because you have to think about it. People won't, once we do that, people won't be appointing to appoint good senators. They'll just appoint to keep a seat filled for their party and probably to change a majority.
Yeah.
And I think, of course, they do that IRL. They'll pick just for their party. But at least in real life, they'll pick someone qualified for the position.
Yeah. I mean, in Arizona, they picked John Kyle to fit to fill John McCain's seat.
I just realized, if you really look at it, I love Bowers, but I guess she didn't look into the Constitution when she appointed Baldwin, because Baldwin actually wasn't eligible to be into the Senate for like a day, actually. She had to be here for what? How many weeks?
It was six.
Yeah, she just made it by a day, I believe. And, you know, I didn't press because I'm not trying to be partisan. I didn't really care that much. I like Baldwin.
Yeah, and there are examples of IRL of people becoming senators before they were actually eligible. Like Henry Clay was a senator at 29, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's overlooked things. And I think we should probably start, you know, when we start a simulation, we need to try to be better than real life. So I think that we should probably start implementing and enforcing the Constitution more than we already do.
I agree.
Yeah, and to tie that back, you know, enforcing the Constitution, make sure it's being followed, that all comes with a strong judicial branch.
Yeah.
To be able to interpret these laws and punish those who break them.
Yeah, I think we have a good court right now. I think Queen is a good Chief Justice, and the associate justices are good. Some of them may seem like they joke around, but they do well.
I mean, you got to give it to them, because like Pope used to joke around that he wanted people to sue someone because the court was getting no activity. You know, I do believe that if we were to have judicial scenarios based off IRL court cases, I do believe that could give some activity to the courts, and it'd be a way for newly certified attorneys to test themselves and get some and get a record.
But here's the thing: we don't have a lot of people in AGS who want to break the law, or people who break the law who get caught. You know?
Yeah.
You know, you'll have to actually really maneuver to catch someone catching the law. I mean, breaking the law, not catching it, of course.
I mean, I would say I would suggest making scenarios for judges, just like we make scenarios for everyone else.
See, and that goes in. We have to have good creators.
Yeah,
I'm only pleased with Castle and Blaine right now in terms of scenarios, because you know they know what they're doing. We need to have good creators who are interested in doing that, because Peyton, my Secretary of Defense currently, he told me how they did on the CC. They would divide into domestic scenarios, foreign scenarios, and such scenarios. And I think we need to have a good balance of each of that. Which we don't currently. We don't have a good balance. We have people who just want to focus on pushing the United States closer to war than actually making good in-depth scenarios. I won't go into detail who I'm talking about, but
you know who you are. I mean, I would say that the creators, I really think scenarios and this is just purely my opinion, I would think scenarios, those on the scenario council would be the most important administrators. Well,
we don't have a scenarios council anymore. It was abolished because of inactivity. We just have the creators working the scenarios page, and you know, talking about the scenario council, I think we should try to bring that back, you know. But instead of letting them just go straight to work on the scenarios council, they should go through Congress, you know. The system of approving them was just, oh, you won the election, you get to take office like a senator or a congressman or the president.
Or like the admins of TPON. Admins of TPON, once they get elected, they just go right into doing their job, which, you know, it sort of works for TPON because their admins are regularly elected. So,
yeah, they have re-elections.
Yeah.
Whereas we only have one election. I think actually, you know, after I get off this interview, I might start drafting a bill to fix that for the scenarios count. Because people like Blaine, you know, who are actually dedicated to the system while also balancing a healthy social life, are getting burnt out, you know. He can't run the sim, administer the census, and run our elections while also pertaining to our paying his attention to our scenarios. Because we have other people who are just sitting in the wings who have good ideas, who know how to implement them. People such as Shapiro, you know, he may not want to be a creator again, but he could be on the scenario and give us good scenarios. Or people like Shields, he has great ideas and gives good scenarios, you know?
You know, I do believe that the courts that, you know, granted this whenever she was Chief Justice, she came up with judicial scenarios from the courts.
Yeah. I think storytellers, I think it would be very important to find very avid storytellers for scenarios, like, and people who are interested in politics too. But I mean
well,
if someone doesn't really know how to go ahead
with the scenarios council, the prior incarnation of it, you could hold a position, be involved in politics, and also be on the council. I believe, is not correct, Zach?
Yes, it was correct, but you could not make scenarios. The stipulation was you could not make scenarios where you were directly involved in. You could, if the scenario happened to affect a broad group, and you happened to just coincidentally be in that group, that was fine. But it's like, you know, if it was like directly affecting you, you were not allowed to make it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good stipulation right there. You know, I think there should be more stipulations within terms of activity and re-elections. I like how TPON does that. It makes sure that the admins don't believe they're untouchable like some creators think they are when they get onto the council.
Yeah, with the elections in TPON, the only way someone can an admin can be expelled is with a petition of 50 members of the SIM, or 4 out of 5, or every other admin has to vote to expel them.
Yeah, and you know, I don't like how it's, you know, here is just the president who has to make the executive decision, you know, when it's obviously going to be the unpopular one. I think, you know, if the council sees something wrong, they should be able to expel a member, which they can't. I don't think they can do that in AGS.
No, but, you know, I do believe that we should reform the process of being able to be removed from the creator council. And, you know, I do believe creators should be able to be impeached too.
Yes,
I agree. Because I remember watching. I remember when I first came on AGS around just like about this time last year, and it was just watching. I remember Jones. I can't remember who it was. He expelled someone, and I would just see creators go through this long, long process to finally get elected. And
this Crosley Jones?
Yes, it was.
Crosley Jones expelled two creators during his administration. He expelled Noel Levy, and he expelled Kenneth Mapp.
Oh, I thought he got rid of Todd Moore and Shapiro.
He might have.
Yeah, because I know there was a big controversy before the 68 election.
I remember Mapp and Noah because...
Well, there was probably just cause behind that.
Yeah, there was no just cause for Noah because Mapp lied to the president, and that's how Mapp got expelled. That's how MAP got dismissed, because Null revealed to Crosley that MAP lied to the president to get someone else off the council.
That's a shame.
Yeah, I just think the council's a very tricky business, because they're almost, the creators are almost like the admins, and then you have the rest of AGS, like the presidency and the legislatures. So that just trying to find a balance of power is, I think, is just very difficult, because each person is kind of, or each group is very edgy on giving up their power, or, you know, finding a way to work with each other where one's not more powerful than the other. So I just think is we would have to be very careful coming up with a way to balance the power, considering how the creators can be very powerful as they are the administrators. And
with the way that the founders intended, you know, they didn't want total admins to have total control, so they gave ways to remove those, and that the only way they thought of was to have the president to be able, because the president's elected by everyone in AGS, so they should be representing the majority of AGS's views, so they would be able to dismiss the people. But, you know, I do believe that there have been times whenever the president in AGS has been out of touch with the people. And so, you know, I believe that it's other council members should be able to remove creators. And then, you know, if we do have we could also have a petition to remove a creator if, like, you know, if this creator isn't good with Congress and the president.
Yeah.
And, you know, they would be untouchable. But, you know, having the, while we are a republic, we don't. If the people say something, you know, we have to listen, because or else, you know, we will get voted out of office come re-election.
Yeah.
Well, this was a very intriguing conversation. Lemaire, do you have any more questions?
No, do you?
I do not. Thank you, Mr. Reyes, for coming on. It was good talking about the Creator Council. It's actually something I don't think I talk about enough, considering how important it is. But I do thank you for taking the time out to come on it.
Yeah.
On here.
Well, thank you for having me.
No problem. All right. Thank you, Mayor, for coming on as well.
It's always a pleasure. I look forward to doing more of these with you. And, you know, like you said, you know, I don't think anyone talks about the Creator Council like enough, but, you know, I do believe there's a point where we should just stop and let the creators do what they do best, because, you know, at the end of the day, they are the ones running the sim, not us.
Well, expanding off of that, not talking enough, you know, we don't talk enough about a lot of things.
Ages, true.
But yeah. So.
Sure. Well, hopefully we will talk about more things in the future. Thank you guys for coming on.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Hey y'all, thank you for tuning in to Axiom 777. We hope you enjoyed the show. Stay tuned for next week, where we'll be interviewing the chairs of the Libertarian Party, delving into the Kudlitz trial, and so much more. Thank you for stopping by the studio, and remember, if you ever want an interview, don't hesitate to ask, and we'll have you up here for the next show. This is Ken Ham, signing off. Thank you, and God bless.